As I spoke to the children about a different perspective, we find that the scripture lessons for this Sunday in Pentecost also talk about a different perspective. The first lesson is from Job, and after all of Job's troubles and his complaints about them to God, God comes and he answers Job and tells him he needs a different perspective. Listen. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man, and I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no further. And here shall your proud waves be stopped. In the epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing about perspective. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In the gospel lesson from Mark, Jesus helps his disciples with their perspective. Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the largest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, he took with him all the disciples in their boat. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat upon the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Picture a meadow in your mind. Gentle, cool breeze is waving the tall grass. It's a beautiful place. has lots of wildflowers. What do you see there? What we see depends on our perspective, which is much more than our point of view. It includes our vantage point, but it also includes our attitude, the angle of our vision and the angle of our emotions, how we're feeling that day. It even includes what we do for a living. A farmer looking at that beautiful meadow, other than seeing a nice place for a picnic, might see a good place for a crop of New Jersey tomatoes with the proper drainage that's there already in the lay of the land. A real estate developer might see it as a great place for a new condominium development. Yes, there'd have to be some zoning variances and some excavating, but this would be the best place for new, easy living estates, complete with pool and sauna and tennis courts. And then there's the pilot. He looks at our field from about 3,000 feet on final approach to the airport, and he sees an excellent emergency landing site, close to the road for medical and fire assistance, smooth, treeless, cuts down on the damage if there has to be a crash landing. That would be the place. It all depends on perspective. And that brings us to that Old Testament lesson from Job. Before this chapter, Job and his friends are arguing about life, about God, about justice. Sound familiar? Just watch the news. And remember all the terrible things that happened to Job, and that Job was not patient the way we mean patient. Just read Job. He was faithful, which is what the King James Version means when it talks about the patience of Job. He was tough, but he was not patient, meaning long-suffering or quiet. He even challenged God to a debate. Show me where I'm wrong. Why have all these terrible things happened to me? I've been a good person. What's the matter with you? And finally, God decides to answer Job. Not that Job bullied God into it. God simply decided to answer Job. And with that came a whole different vantage point, perspective, attitude on Job's part. He said, after God answered, "I will be quiet and I will listen," which is something he hadn't been doing until this point. Well, God decides to develop Job's new and different perspective. And he starts out by saying, "Who's talking here? Do I hear some noise? Who's ever talking is obviously someone who doesn't know what they're talking about. Who is this?" See, Job was complaining about the raw deal he received, and God didn't even discuss that with him, the ethics of the situation. He didn't accuse Job of being bad or excuse him because he was good. He simply said that being a man, Job was not equipped to judge God because he didn't understand other than in human terms. And God is beyond that. To expect that Job could would be like expecting Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to understand nuclear physics. Now, they were intelligent, faithful people. But neutrons, protons, and electrons were just not part of their perspective. The fact that God would even answer Job effectively disarms Job's complaints that God was aloof and indifferent and apathetic. And then God points out that he, Job, had just better consider who and what he, God, is. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, Job? Tell me about it. just how did I get it done? Did I do it according to your directions? Now today we know a lot about the Earth and the solar system. We've seen it from the surface of the moon. But if you want to get a sense of some of that cosmic chill that Job felt, consider this perspective, this comparison. If you've got a ring on your finger, just consider that the orbit of the Earth around the sun. Now, the radius, half the diameter in this perspective, is 186 million miles. Got it? Here's the perspective. The nearest star is 20 miles away. Now, that's not to make us feel worthless. It's not to make us feel small. Humility is not worthlessness. Humility is just proper perspective. And that makes it possible for both Job and us to appreciate the remarkable fact that God, the God of all the universe and the cosmos, the God that all of all it is and what is beyond, that God is willing to communicate with us. And what God communicates in our Old Testament passage is that he does not govern by whim or fancy, but according to his well-considered order. And while Job could not understand that, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. A canary does not understand the existence of a vacuum cleaner. That does not mean that using it to clean the cage would be a very good idea without removing the canary. And so when you and I feel like questioning God and his methods, you know, about mercy, loving enemies, forgiveness, when we decide to challenge that, we better be ready for some questions like Job got. What about war? What about weapons? What about all the methods we have devised? After all, whose methods are the ones that are not working? Ours or God's? You see, with a new and different perspective, we arrive at new and different answers. And that's the point of the epistle lesson from Paul, 2 Corinthians. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, perspective. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. You see, from a converted or a changed point of view, Jesus Christ is not only the son of the peasants, Mary and Joseph, he's the son of God. He's not just a Mideastern rabbi with a nice set of interesting ethics. He's the savior of the world. He's not an executed carpenter from Nazareth. He's the risen Christ. And it's only with that new and different perspective that we can really begin to understand and appreciate who and what Jesus is. Now, Job really didn't deserve an answer. And we really don't deserve a rescue, being reconciled to God on our own merits. And yet, even though it cost God to rescue in the moral scheme of things, he chose to do it. How much did it cost? Well, that's something parents can begin to understand. We value our children above everything else. So does God. And he was willing to sacrifice his son for us. And it is from that perspective that we begin to appreciate the value of our rescue, our salvation. And then Paul says we're to go on and share that perspective with other people. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, he says. as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. An ambassador is a representative of a different country trying to explain and communicate and convince the host country of the value of his country's perspective. And that's how we Christians are to see ourselves. Now, an effective ambassador is not going to purposely try to offend those he wants to convince. Nor is he going to ignore the host country's position or condition. Such is the case for Christians in the world. We need to be on the offensive, but we don't need to be offensive. No true evangelism was ever done with a holier-than-thou attitude or a condescending approach. Doesn't work. And yet, as pleasant as an ambassador is, he or she is never undercover. People and governments know very well where the ambassador's allegiance is to his home country. Likewise, there's no such thing as a secret Christian. We have to be very upfront about who we are and for whom we're working. And as no ambassador works without help, without support, neither do we. And that brings us to the gospel lesson in Mark. Here there are two very obvious sources of help for power and conviction for you and me as ambassadors for Christ. Jesus shows us them with a parable and then with a miracle. The parable of the mustard seed says, look very carefully. That's a call for a new perspective, a different one. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God isn't size, it's growth. It may have very small beginnings, but look at the results. Don't take them for granted. Who could imagine that poor baby Jesus would grow up to be the Savior of the world? That he would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And that the very ordinary disciples would start a movement that still turns the world upside down? And then to verify that teaching, we read about the miracle of the storm stilled. And that's the kind of demonstration we like. Instant, powerful, in your face. Which, when we remember what God told Job, it's not so much of a surprise, this miracle. And yet it is. Because we do not consider that miracle from the proper perspective. We like to focus on what Jesus did because it gets our attention rather than what he said. After telling the storm to be quiet, that's what peace means there. It's kind of like we tell the dog to stop barking. He turns to the disciples and he says, are you still afraid? Have a little faith. And that's the new perspective whereby we become who and what God intends us to be. It takes faith to trust God that his ways are best. It takes faith to act on his directions. It takes faith not to succumb to the world's methods, which look so immediate and so successful. It takes faith to support unpopular and yet still righteous causes. It just takes faith to be faithful. And it all depends on a different perspective. So this week, take a look at life. And practice your faith. Let's ask ourselves the questions, where do we need a new angle? where is a fresh line of sight or a fresh consideration of who and whose we are going to help us? Maybe we need to look at our children and our family a little differently. Yet we're not quite sure how. We just know we should. Maybe we need a little different attitude of work. Maybe we're considering some sort of commitment to the church and her ministry, trying out something a little different, helping out the first time at the barbecue. Where are we going to find a way to deal with a problem person? Can we find a way to find our own way? Well, God continues to offer us a new and a different perspective in Jesus. It's ever growing. It's ever changing because God continues to bless us more and more. And as we open ourselves to God's faithfulness, He's always there, and to His grace, He always loves us, we're going to become more of what He wants us to be, with a different perspective. Amen. Join with me in the prayer for blessing on the Word. It comes to us from the Psalms. Let us pray. Teach us Your way, O Lord, and lead us on a level path. Teach us, O Lord, to follow Your decrees, and we will keep them to the end. Give us understanding, and we will keep Your law and obey it with all our hearts. Through Jesus. Amen.